First Epistle of John, chapter 5, verses 12 through 21.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
Verse number 12 appears to me as a sum of the preceding lines. It is a short statement of the important facts. If Christ is in me, I am in Christ. Being a member of his body, I have his life in me. If I am not in Christ, I am in the same death that is in the last world. There is no middle ground, no third place for me. As we look into the verse number 13, we see one of the benefits we receive by understanding and believing some of the foregoing words. This epistle is addressed to the believers to promote their progress in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and in the awareness of life everlasting, forever ours, in Christ. Faith founded on the gospel truth is giving us great liberty in the Spirit of our Lord and Savior and makes us free from fear and uncertainties in this world. When we freely believe in the name of God's Son and adore him as our Redeemer, Lord, and Master, no burden is too hard, no word of his is insignificant. Believing in the Son of God and receiving reassurances in his Spirit, we have that wonderful new life. That everlasting life in Christ, as the Lord told to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11:25. This life is not idle, but labor of gratitude. Even in trials and battles, this life is comforted and encouraged by our confidence in him. We know that he bears our burdens and has allowed us to bear only the small portion necessary to keep us alert and aware of his constant loving care for us. He is giving us ability to be his witnesses and light to the world. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, Matthew 20:28, we are instructed and encouraged to follow his example, to use our confidence in him for the benefit of our fellow believers, and to bless one another as we share his word in his love. In the verses 14 and 15, the amazing stream of thinking is given to us by the Spirit of our Lord. When we are eager to know and do his will, we are spared from much of this world's tumult and enticement, and we have his attentive hearing constantly inclined to our desires generated in our hearts by His Spirit. We know that His attention is with a meaningful purpose. We need Him all the time. We must search our heart every step of the way and seek in His Word what we need and what to ask from Him, our Heavenly Father, in order to serve Him faithfully and wisely. Then our joy in His salvation is growing greater continually. As in our new life in Christ, our soul's need is our pursuit of His good pleasure, the sole purpose and goal of our pilgrimage and strife. So we need to pray for His guidance, protection, and correction to help our brothers and sisters around us. Prayers for our brothers' well-being and prosperity are pleasing our God. The charity deeds are an expression of God's love in our hearts. We can have concerns for our neighbors and for our brothers that we can only pray for. In many cases, both prayer and loving deeds are the only proper way. At times, self-restraint or silence speak more and wiser than much lecturing. James 1:19. In Matthew 12:31, the Lord told us, "All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." We cannot ask God's forgiveness for anyone to continue in sin. We can pray for His change of the heart and mind toward repentance. In James 1:15 we read that sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. I believe the sin of a sinner is finished when his living in sin is finished. For the saved, sin was finished on Golgotha. For all unsaved, their sin is finished in their own death. The wages of sin is death. God saves in Christ. Romans 6:23. Verse 17 is in full harmony with the verses 8 and 9 in the first chapter. We know that we are far from perfect righteousness, yet that perfect righteousness is ours in Christ. In Christ's ransom, the Father is just, righteous, and gracious to forgive us when we strive against sin, confess our sin, and ask forgiveness. We are born from above, born of the Spirit. The Spirit indwelling our hearts is greater and stronger than the whole world deceived by Satan and enslaved to sin. The devil has no power to force us to sin. His power is in deception. When we sin willfully, we give sin and Satan power over us to defeat us. All the faithful disciples of the Lord recorded in the Holy Scriptures are witnesses appointed by God, and they are our reliable examples to follow. When we follow the Lord's teaching, we are separated from the world of sin and deception, the world reveling in wickedness. We know that because we were there. The apostles knew that they were of God, elected by the Father, redeemed by the ransom, indwelled by Christ's Spirit, John 20:22, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:4, confirmed by miracles of healing publicly, Acts 3, and above all, remained faithful and zealous in adversities, Acts 5:40-42. How can we know today that the Son of God is come? How can we know that our understanding is from Him? that we truly know Him, that we truly worship the Heavenly Father, that we are in the Son. How can we be sure that we are not worshiping idols decorated with a multitude of false divine attributes? There is only one way. That one way is briefly presented to us in this epistle, especially in the chapter 1. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. We know not God but through and in Christ. We know not Christ but by the testimony of the prophets and the apostles. We know not their testimony outside of the Holy Scriptures. The only trustworthy recording is here. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith and salvation, one and all sufficient, and there is none other. As true and clear as the Scriptures are, no man can understand the message of God. All men are misguided by carnality and self-deception. Only the minds guided by the Spirit of the Lord can receive understanding in the beginning and continue growing in the Word, sustained by the same Holy Spirit. In the chapter 2:12-14, the Apostle is writing to the little children, to the young men and to the fathers. The young men mature and become the wise fathers. The little children grow and become young men to mature and become fathers. What is the healthy growing and maturing revealed to us in this epistle? As the message of the epistle is completing, in the final admonishment, we are all little children. He did not name us doctors of theology, nor scholars, nor experienced leaders, just little children, but very blessed in the arms of our Savior's loving care. He is our Lord, our Master. Blessed be His name forever. This whole epistle is a mighty and shining path of Christ's Spirit's inspiration and guidance. The human author is almost invisible. He probably saw himself as only a scribe, an instrument in the Lord's hand. The focus is on the Lord Jesus, the eternal Word of the Almighty God, His grace and loving care for us. John is behind the scene, but his amazement is impossible to oversee. God is light all through, not the least shadow, never any change, never less than perfect. Now we declare to you, His children, what He has revealed to us in the appearance, presence, and work of His beloved Son, the living Word of God. The simple statements, short sentences, are defeating satanic lies, preserving us on the path of salvation, keeping us in the fellowship of Christ's Spirit. The fullness of joy is given to the faithful. Falsehood is recognized and right out rejected. God's family is protected and secured in His patient, loving care. The whole gospel, from the moment the Lord Jesus appeared to them and to the last word in the book, is one message of Christ, the living Word. In the appearance, manners, words, and deeds of the Lord Jesus, the Father has been manifested. When we live the gospel, Christ our Lord is manifested in our life. regardless of our background and past, regardless of age, education, and experience, we are all children of the Father in Christ. We all partake and benefit of His tender, loving care. We need His safekeeping all the time. His Spirit is guiding us in learning His Word and protecting us in daily prayers and proper applications. We need not study Satan's devices. We know the gospel of salvation in Christ. Anything different is not our bread of heaven. We know the Lord Jesus and we recognize the true disciples as the children of the Father and our beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one family yearning for His wedding feast, the redemption and sanctifying influence of the Spirit. His loving lordship in our soul is so amazing that we must wonder what we will be when the transformation will be completed and we see Him as He is. All the way through this epistle, we are guarded to cleave to the gospel truth and to reject falsehood. All the time we are encouraged to keep our eyes on the living Word and to grow in love and truth. All the time we are commanded not to sin and never to believe the lie that we are sinless. All the way we are to strive to do the best we can for the Master and always to confess and seek His forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ lived in the flesh in the midst of His disciples only a few years. John seemed to be an old man at the time of writing this epistle. The glorious experience of watching the Son of God in their life for that short time never faded away. As they walked with the Lord, His presence grew brighter. Just as the Savior despised Satan's boasting with the false glory and worship the Father in that wilderness, Matthew 4:1-11. So here John, now an old man, triumphantly tells us in the verse 20 of this chapter 5, "We know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." May our Heavenly Father keep us in His grace in Christ, that we never accept substitutes. Our Father and our Savior is the only true living God and worthy of our constant adoration forever. As we worship our God wholeheartedly here, we are preparing ourselves for the everlasting glory in His kingdom.